Welcome, everybody, to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson here at the NovaCare Complex. It's Dallas Cowboys week, and we've got the Cowboys once again on our minds.
Yes, and it could be better than this. First place in NFC, up for grabs. Both teams are 9-4. It's going to be Sunday Night Football. Lincoln Financial Field is going to be electric. But remember, the Eagles are 3-0 in games after a loss this season. There's no reason to think they can't be 4-0 after this Sunday.
Yeah, haven't lost since last October, back-to-back games. So certainly there is a lot to feel very good about. Plus, the fact that the Eagles are just a really good football team. And coming back from that loss to the Seattle Seahawks, lots to get to here on Eagles 360. We'll do a little old school all 22, look back at a big Philadelphia Eagles moment against the Cowboys. And we'll go behind enemy lines today, hear from the Cowboys who are coming off that big win against the Chicago Bears. First things first, however, Bo Wolf has everything covered. It's our Eagles 360 update presented by Sports Authority.
Well, thanks, Dave. And what the Eagles do know about this Cowboys team is what happened a couple weeks ago on Thanksgiving when they took out the Cowboys to gain first place in the NFC East, 33-10. But what they don't know is what will be different this time around. Both offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur and Bill Davis talked about the unique circumstance of preparing for a team just 2 weeks after they played them.
Well, they'll be the same team that we're going to play against. Certainly, we expect them to come in and play their best. And for us to come out with the outcome that we want, we got to really play well.
Every game in the NFL is a game in and of itself. And that game on Thanksgiving means nothing to this game right now. They're going to come out. Every team that has beat us so far this year, we'd love to have another shot at, because we believe if we play better, we can beat anybody. And they believe the same thing coming into this game. You know, we all know what's at stake. It's a division opponent. It's this week. We both have great records. We're excited about the challenge. We know they're going to come in here excited, and that's what makes for good NFL football.
I think it'd be, you know, really different. I think, they've obviously are going to come, you know, prepared, and obviously they know what's at stake here, and we do as well. And obviously, you know, what we did to them on Thanksgiving is probably still in the back of their mind. So we're going to prepare for a battle, and we don't expect anything less.
I mean, everyone knows the importance of the game. Everyone in Philadelphia will let you know if you don't know how important this game is. But at the end of the day, it is the next game on our schedule. Say we go out there and win this game and lose the next two, it's going to put no meaning on this game in the long run. So we're focused on this game, but we're not making it bigger than it really is.
Meanwhile, for Mark Sanchez, this week is about bouncing back from a down performance against Seattle in which he threw for just under 100 yards, and the offense really amounted to very little against the number one ranked Seahawks defense. A couple weeks ago, of course, Sanchez and the offense rolled against the Cowboys. He threw for over 200 yards in the first half. What does he do this week to get back to basics?
We just worry about the opinion in our locker room and the sentiment in the locker room. Team morale is high. Guys were upset about the loss, and that's normal. But it's already Tuesday. I mean, we're moved on, and we got to flush all that negative energy and, kind of crappy feelings and stuff out on the field. And that's the best part about coming in on Tuesday and running around. So I think we're poised and ready to go for Dallas, and we need to have a good week of training.
That'll do it for your 360 update presented by Sports Authority. Back to you guys in the studio.
Thanks, Bo. A little bit later in the show, we'll find out if that Thanksgiving game was an anomaly in the eyes of the Dallas Cowboys as we go behind enemy lines with Tim McMahon of ESPN.com. But first, it's time for the 101 with Chip Kelly Day.
Yeah, and the Eagles head coach really focusing, obviously, on the Dallas Cowboys for the second time in 3 weeks. How does the closeness of these games affect preparation? We'll find out when Eagles 360 returns.
I step to Philly.
I step to Philly.
You step to Philly?
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Route 124.
Route 23.
I step to Philly.
The 17 to training.
Jenkintown.
To her house.
His house.
To Betsy's house.
City Hall. FTC.
Delco. Media.
To work.
To school.
To the mall.
Abuelas.
Broad Street.
To the game.
I step to Philly. Anywhere.
Hard work, every day. Hard work, get up, on the street. Hard work, ready to go, and
section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
Welcome into the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by head coach Chip Kelly. Our exclusive one-on-one with the head coach each Tuesday here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And Chip, it's the Dallas Cowboys again. They rebounded from the Thanksgiving Day game and played a very strong game against the Chicago Bears on Thursday night. What did you see from them?
They did. You know, they had another Thursday game, so they only had a week to prepare for Chicago. But Chicago actually played on Thanksgiving also, so it was an equal matchup from that standpoint. They DeMarco Murray had over 40 touches. You know, besides running the football, they really seemed to target him in the passing game. And then Chicago came back late in the game, but it was, I think, 35-7 at one point in time. And then Chicago kind of came back late against some prevent defense from Dallas, but played well in all three phases of the game and then gave themselves an opportunity to get 10 days rest before we play this one. So we expect a heck of a game like all Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboy games are.
Is that the quality of team you expect to come in on Sunday, the team that's explosive in the offense and then shut down the Bears for three quarters in that game?
Yeah, that's what, you know, obviously we're preparing for, and they've got an extra couple days of rest to come into this one. So we're going to see a heavy dose of Tony Romo and DeMarco Murray and Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, and so should be a great game here on Sunday.
Defense has done a great job against the run all year, and in that Thanksgiving Day game, terrific job in the run game against DeMarco Murray. What were the keys as you look back and review that game?
I think overall it's just how hard our defense is playing right now. They're playing with great effort. There's 11 guys running to the football in every play. They've got a good feel of where they're supposed to be and what their fits are and who's supposed to be in what gap and where the ball's supposed to be run or where we want it to get spilled to. So they've done a good job from that standpoint. And then the chess match that always goes on in games like this is we just played them, you know, two games ago. So how much do they change, you know? And then do we have to change a little bit because they're changing a little bit? So there's a little bit of we think this, they think this, you know, kind of how it's going to work itself out as the game goes along.
Do you concentrate most of your efforts on the game on Thanksgiving and the game since then? Or do you look back at stuff that you've seen?
You still look back at everything because you have to be prepared. You know they're not going to play exactly like they played on Thanksgiving, so there's going to be a wrinkle or two. You try to look into the Chicago game and see if you can see what that wrinkle is, or you try to predict what you think that wrinkle is going to be. But basically, when you're game planning for any offense, you need to be sound on the defensive side of the ball when you put your game plan and your preparation in. And just know that they do have weapons everywhere. We didn't see a whole lot of Dez Bryant on Thanksgiving, but that doesn't mean we're not going to see a whole lot of them this Sunday. So we're aware of who their receivers are, Williams and Beasley. You know, there's and Witten and Escobar, the other tight end, you know, can do some things for you. So we're aware of everybody. It's just, you know, just being real cognizant of that it's not going to be the same exact game that it was on Thanksgiving.
So maybe a stupid question, but just the ability to watch film. Mm-hmm. Does it vary a lot with guys? I mean, your experience, are there people who are really good at watching film and detecting little nuances that change?
Yeah, there are. You know, there are some guys that are really good, that, and maybe they only need to watch it once and can say, hey, they're going to do this, this, and this, or they saw everything. There are other guys that really have to study it and maybe need to see plays or cut-ups, you know, three or four times before they feel real comfortable with it so that they can take it from the film room to the practice field and from the practice field to the game field.
What is your expectation for the mindset that Dallas is going to bring, knowing what happened on Thanksgiving?
I don't think it has anything to do with Thanksgiving. I think it's just what's at stake. You know, it's an opportunity for first place in the NFC East. And when you get down to this time, important time during the year, it's the last 3 weeks of the season. So everybody's getting into that playoff mentality and really consider it. It's a playoff game on Sunday, and that's what I think we're going to get everything from Dallas, and they're going to get everything from us.
I know in Dallas the offense came out two quick touchdown drives, feeling really good about things, but the takeaway seemed to be more on the missed opportunities in the red zone. How do you look at that performance from the offense?
I look at it both ways. I mean, I thought we played well early in the game, but I also thought we left some points on the board and left a lot of offense on the field against them, you know, against a quality offensive team like Dallas, we need to score as many points as we can just because we know they can score points.
What do you take away, absorb, learn from the game against Seattle on Sunday?
There's a lot. I mean, I think you learn every single time you get an opportunity to go out and compete against somebody. And You know, I thought our defense, especially in the run game, played really well. I thought Russell Wilson played an outstanding game. There seemed like numerous times where we had him sacked, and maybe if it was another quarterback in this league, they would have been down, but he escaped out of it and forced us to play in coverage a long times. I thought our defense did a good job of putting them into third and longs, but we didn't do a good job when we were in third and longs. And then offensively, I think we didn't execute the way we need to execute against a quality football team, and I think that's a lesson for all of us to learn in terms of what we have to do to win games. And still, it was a extremely close football game, you know, and you're a play away here. We missed a guy running down the outside that was open. Malcolm, you know, gets knocked out of his hands on an interception, and it's a one score game and it's a close football game. So there's a lot we can teach from, and that's what we did today with all the guys back this morning in terms of watching film, and let's get better and let's be better our next time out.
You've talked about the defense here, and two players who've really just had terrific seasons, Fletcher Cox, Michael Kendricks, young players in their third seasons really growing. Do you see them kind of just taking that next step in terms of their NFL performance, consistency, productivity?
Well, I see Fletcher definitely, just because Fletcher's played every single game this year. You know, Mike was out of the lineup for an extended period of time with the leg injury. So, you've seen flashes from Michael, and I think we all know the athletic ability and what he can do. You hope we can continue to grow from there. But the one thing about Fletch is it's been consistent from game one to game 13 in terms of his performance. And we've said it and we've stated it for a while that we think he's been playing at a really high level.
Great. Well, good luck to you on Sunday night. Coach Chip Kelly, thanks for joining us in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming in here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
The moment we dare to imagine is the moment progress begins. In a flash, the inconceivable becomes everyday. Imagine someone doing the same for healthcare. At Jefferson, we've brought together some of the brightest minds in medicine, in research and innovation, resulting in advancements that will touch lives in amazing ways. You might not see how a health sciences university, an academic medical center, and spectacular collisions of imagination can change your future, but you will.
Rico and the Philadelphia Eagles are giving you the chance to win a VIP party for your office for up to 50 people at the NovaCare Complex. Enter today at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/RicoOfficeParty. Sweepstakes open to residents of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Rico, the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. We're back. It's Eagles 360. Dave and Chris here. We're going to take a little pause from the world of reality on the football field to the kind of football that a lot of fans are playing right now with sweaty palms and brows that are a little moist. It's fantasy football time.
Yes, indeed. Playoff times, and it's playoff times really for the Eagles on Sunday. Now, the Eagles dominated Tony Romo and the Dallas offense in the first meeting. Will they do so again this Sunday? It's our weekly fantasy spin with Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com and Bo Wolf.
Well, it is playoff time once again here on the Fantasy Spin. I'm Bo Wolf. That is Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. And Joe, let's talk about the Eagles and the Eagles defense that has been the number one defense slash special teams throughout the season in fantasy. A big week 2 weeks ago when they played Dallas. Are you rolling with them again when they play the Cowboys on Sunday?
I think absolutely. Now, the one thing you have to take into account is Dallas is not a high-volume passing game. And When you're playing fantasy defenses, high-volume passing games, especially ones that aren't particularly effective, are the ones you really want to go after. But Tony Romo hasn't attempted 30 or more passes since week 6. And it's very clear to me that the Dallas Cowboys just do not trust him right now. His health is obviously an issue. So the Eagles are going to have to try to make big plays. And I kind of view that as fumbles, sacks, interceptions. You have a better shot to force a fumble, obviously, on a sack. And interceptions you can't have unless the team's throwing the football. They're going to have to make do with rather relatively few opportunities compared to some other teams in the NFL. And I think the Eagles, though, at home, I would expect them to bounce back in a big way against Dallas, and I think the defense is included in that.
So we saw what happened when these two teams met on Thanksgiving. Cowboys' game plan sort of got thrown out the window because the Eagles got that big lead. Romo was forced to throw more, but as you said, it didn't really look like the Cowboys trusted him very much. If you have Romo, do you start him this week?
I think there's going to be situations when you can start Tony Romo. The problem is the Cowboys are telling you what they think of him, Bo, and you said they abandoned their game plan a little bit. The game kind of got away from them on Thanksgiving, but they still ran the ball on like 17 of their first 18 first downs. They took no shots downfield to Dez Bryant. Tony Romo, once again, hasn't thrown 30 or more passes since week 6. And Brandon Weeden, in his lone start against the Cardinals in week 9, he threw 33. So the Cowboys were actually more comfortable uncorking it with Brandon Weeden than they were with Tony Romo. I think that says a lot about Romo's health. I would expect Romo and Dez Bryant to connect once or twice in this game, maybe for a big play or two, but I don't think he's anything more than a mid-range fantasy starter, probably more on the low end, actually.
Never good when you trust an 80-year-old quarterback more than you trust Tony Romo. Talking about Brandon Weeden, of course. The old man himself. Let's talk about another guy who has a bit of an injury history, and that's Andre Ellington, now out for the season with the hernia for the Cardinals. Obviously, some teams had Andre Ellington as they entered the playoffs. How do you go about replacing him?
The waiver wire's kind of dried up, Bo, so you're going to have to look for some lower-end guys. And if there's a guy out there who I'm begging, I hope is out there, that you need to pick up, it would be Jonathan Stewart of the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers, for some reason, were insistent that D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart split the workload. But now D'Angelo Williams is injured, and Jonathan Stewart went nuts against the New Orleans Saints. If he is out there on your waiver wire, he is by far the number one guy at the running back position. Maybe Matt Asiata's out there, and if you're in a PPR, he might be able to get you 8 to 10 points because Jerick McKinnon's now out for the year. And perhaps you look at Juwan Thompson of the Denver Broncos, keeping an eye on C.J. Anderson's status, but the running back position is really dry right now. Stewart is by far the number one guy out there. Otherwise, if Andre Ellington was a guy you were really counting on, you may have to scrape the bottom of the barrel of that waiver wire right now.
All right, last question, Joe. We saw last week the Buffalo Bills defense do a pretty good job limiting the production of that vaunted Broncos offense. They'll have the Green Bay Packers offense this week in Buffalo. Broncos offense, Packers offense, lots of relevant fantasy players. What do you feel about these Packers guys?
I think you downgrade them a little bit, especially Eddie Lacy, but even a guy like Eddie Lacy has been getting it done in the passing game on top of the run game, and I cannot in good faith recommend you sit any of these Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers, frankly, is playing better than Peyton Manning, and I know we love Peyton Manning for fantasy, but the fact that he ended a lot of seasons prematurely doesn't mean you overreact to Green Bay going into Buffalo. Rodgers has to be in your lineup. Jordy Nelson has to be in your lineup. Randall Cobb must be in your lineup. Eddie Lacy must be in your lineup. Maybe one thing you do, take Davante Adams out of your lineup if you've been rolling with him. Put somebody else in there because this is a good Buffalo defense. Don't even consider Quarles or Rodgers the tight ends. But otherwise, you just have to suck it up and play these guys. There's really nobody else that you can make a really salient argument for.
All right. Well, everything coming down to the line as we enter the last couple weeks of the season. Week 15, week 16. It's all on the line, especially in the Eagles Fantasy Football League. Bo Wolf against Katie Tang for all the marbles in the semifinals. That's Joe Dolan of FantasyGuru.com. Follow him on Twitter at FG_Dolan. And we'll see you next week with championships on the line right here in the Fantasy Spin.
Thanks very much, Bo and Joe. All right, Chris, now I want to talk a little Dallas Cowboys. And I know you've got the inside scoop on what's happening with the Cowboys.
Well, I don't have the inside scoop, so what I'm going to do is go behind enemy lines. We'll bring in Tim McMahon from ESPN Dallas, and he's going to tell us whether things could really change from just 2 weeks ago when the Eagles first demolished the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win,
you win!
score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified, authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
It's time to go behind enemy lines, and no better person to break it down than ESPN Dallas' Tim McMahon. Tim, the Cowboys were able to bounce back in a big way with the win over the Bears. How, in your estimation, were they able to do so?
Well, it helps that the Bears aren't any good and are looking for vacation destinations instead of trying to get in the playoffs at this point. But really, I think the biggest difference is they had a relatively healthy Tony Romo, a fully recovered Tony Romo in terms of having a full week. And that's why I think this is going to be a drastically different game than the first time in Thanksgiving when the Eagles came to town and obviously just dominated the Cowboys. Not necessarily predicting a Cowboys win, but there will be a huge difference between Tony Romo 3.5 days after he played his last game and Tony Romo 10 days after he played his last game. I mean, this is a guy who can't practice Wednesday and be fully functional on Sunday. So a Sunday night to Thursday afternoon turnaround was just a recipe for disaster. That's exactly what happened.
Tim, what was the biggest difference, in your opinion, in Romo's performance from that Thanksgiving game against the Eagles to the game on Thursday against the Bears?
The ability to move. I mean, we all know Romo, one of his best attributes is his ability to, when things aren't perfect, buy a little bit of time and create when the play breaks down. And you saw, for example, the second touchdown pass to Cole Beasley. He made a really good pass rusher, and Willie Young miss, was able to get outside the pocket and float a nice pass to Beasley for the touchdown. Romo couldn't move against the Eagles. And, if Romo can't move, he's not going to be very good. And, again, that to me, it really is the difference in Romo with 3.5 days of rest and, a guy with two back surgeries, two cracks in his back, and now we find out has a problem with his rib cartilage as well. There's just no way he was going to be able to move like he needs to be anywhere close to the kind of quarterback you need to beat an Eagles team that is going to put up points against the Cowboys.
Tim, DeMarco Murray, again, having an outstanding season, another 100-yard performance against the Bears, but he had a total of 41 touches, if I'm correct. Is there any concern on your part about the workload that Murray has gotten to this point in the year?
It is a concern to me. What effect does it have next season and the year after that? And I don't blame the Cowboys for not being too concerned about that. I'm not sure if DeMarco Murray will be back in Dallas next year. But as far as a concern going into this game, no. And it helps that he's got the extra few days to recover. But the concern to me is, in terms of DeMarco Murray against the Eagles, is the fact that this offensive line that we all called the best in the NFL got his butt kicked the last time they faced the Eagles. The concern to me for the running game is how do they block Fletcher Cox, because that's something that definitely didn't happen on Thanksgiving.
Do the players in the locker room feel that the Thanksgiving game was an anomaly, or do you think that the Cowboys were exposed in that matchup?
I will say this. You're not going to hear any excuses coming from the Cowboys about that game. They feel like they got their butts kicked, and they're glad that they have a chance to come out and do something about it. But I don't know if anomaly is a word that would be used in the locker room. I think embarrassment would be the word.
Why do you think, Tim, that the Cowboys have played so much better away from AT&T Stadium? They are undefeated on the road, while the Eagles are 6-1. They were just handed their first loss at home of the season on Sunday to Seattle.
Yeah, that's a really strange deal because they're under 500 at home, and like you mentioned, they're the only undefeated road team in the NFL. And probably the simplest answer I could give you is they've played better teams at home than they have on the road. Then again, they did beat the Seahawks in Seattle, something that certainly doesn't happen very often. But, again, the quality of competition is the only thing that really makes sense. And so we'll see if they can get a win against a good team on the road Sunday.
Tim, my last question, in your estimation, what has to change from the Thanksgiving meeting in order for the Cowboys to not only be competitive but possibly come out with a win to take first place in the NFC East?
Well, they better score a heck of a lot more than 10 points. They need Romo to be the Romo they've had for the vast majority of the season, and they need the offensive line and DeMarco Murray to perform like they have for the vast majority of the season. Because, again, this offense, this Philadelphia offense, is going to put up points. It's going to move the ball against the Cowboys' defense. So the best defense the Cowboys have is scoring points and putting together long drives, because I don't care how good your offense is, if you're on the sideline, you know, it's hard for the Cowboys' defense to give up points when they're over there sipping Gatorade. So the Cowboys need to control time of possession, and they need to put up points, because you're not going to beat the Eagles 13-10.
Tim McMahon from ESPN Dallas, thank you very much for taking us behind enemy lines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Eagles fan! When the Eagles win, you win.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win, you win.
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
The moment we dare to imagine is the moment progress begins. In a flash, the inconceivable becomes everyday. Imagine someone doing the same for healthcare. At Jefferson, we've brought together some of the brightest minds in medicine, in research and innovation, resulting in advancements that will touch lives in amazing ways. You might not see how a health sciences university, an academic medical center, and spectacular collisions of imagination can change your future, but you will.
Feel it?
DJ, what?
You know the game's on tonight, right, Amy?
I know, but it's my turn to chaperone.
Right, but you can do both.
How?
NFL Mobile is now free with the More Everything plan from Verizon.
I have Verizon.
Download it, and you can watch the game right here.
Come on, Miss Boogie!
Oh, Helen.
Watch primetime NFL games on NFL Mobile, included with the More Everything plan, exclusively from Verizon.
Sports Authority is proud to be the official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. We welcome you back. Our final segment on Eagles 360. We come your way every Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock is the time, on PhiladelphiaEagles.com here. Let's take a little look at the Wayback Machine. 2001 was the year. Jeremiah Trotter, the big play in an Eagles win against the Dallas Cowboys. It's our old school All-22 look. Dan Klecko, take it away.
Dallas rolls into town this week, and we're going to take a look back at one of the Axeman's greatest plays ever against Dallas.
The year was 2001, and at 6-2, the Eagles were in good shape when they visited the lowly Cowboys in Week 10. And sitting on a comfortable 13-0 lead, with just seconds left to play in the first half, looked like they would cruise to victory. Cowboys quarterback Ryan Leaf had other plans, however, when he lined up on the final play of the second quarter.
All right, so there's 15 seconds left in the end of the half. We're going to look at this play right here. As you can see, Eagles in total prevent defense. We're looking at Ryan Leaf trying to resurrect his career in Dallas. And let's watch Trot right here. That's who we're going to look at. Great play live by a linebacker. Usually look at that, you see mismatch. That's what the quarterback's thinking right away. What I want you to watch right here is this receiver. As he comes out, When he runs his route, you want him to run it back downhill right there, just like that, so that this linebacker can't undercut it. But watch this sloppy route he runs right here. He bends it way upfield. Trott has a chance, like I said, to undercut it without worrying about him coming back for the ball. And especially with the time constraints, Trott's not really worried about it. Undercuts the ball. Great pick by him. Look at this pocket, too. Ryan Leaf. Just typical of his career. Just throws the ball up to the Eagles. Great job by Trott right here in coverage. Back in 2001, Trott's heyday. All the way to the house. Eagles win the game, cruise to a victory, and the Cowboys sink further into oblivion.
Thanks very much, Dan. Good to see Trott in the prime of his career getting into the end zone for that touchdown. Ryan Leaf?
I forgot he played for the Cowboys. Yeah. That position was a quagmire for the Cowboys during the early 2000s. The Eagles were really able to take advantage, but it would be nice to be up on Tony Romo once again.
Yeah, it really will be. But I think everybody, and we heard Chip Kelly talk about it, expects Romo and the Cowboys to put on a much better performance on Sunday night at Lincoln Financial Field. We got a lot to get to between now and then. Check out what we've got for you on PhiladelphiaEagles.com today. Our text offerings here. I'm going to take a little look at the world of statistics, Chris. I've got a sheet of paper that, had I given it to you in August blank, would you agree with some of the numbers or expect some of the numbers that you see here in December? Something to look forward to. Of course, Seth Joyner takes a look at Dallas Cowboys week. He didn't like the Cowboys then. He doesn't like the Cowboys now. The video world, make sure you check out Mark Sanchez and Pat Shurmur, their press conferences. And then inside the locker room, the players looking to silence some critics who have been chirping the last couple of days here. Tomorrow on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the defense was dominant on Thanksgiving, looking for round number two, a win on Sunday night. Ray Dinger brings us a little Eagles history and five things to know. Start your day every day on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. In studio, Merrill Reese. He's ready to go. Eagles, Cowboys, Sunday night. Cover two, our showdown on Sunday night, and our 360 matchups that matter. We're getting midweek here. We're getting all Dallas Cowboyed up. Eagles and the Cowboys, the first of three straight NFC East games.
Yes, you have a hard time containing yourself.
I'm going to use the words of Rich Kotite. I'm not going to leave it in the locker room here. I am ready for the Cowboys on this Tuesday, and I'll be even more ready Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Pause early Sunday morning and be frenzied just like you on Sunday night when the Cowboys come to town. Well, that'll do it for us. For Chris, I'm Dave. It's Eagles 360 here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.